Anyway, take your Bibles. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to pull my scriptures up here and we'll get ready. And I want to look some things up here in a little bit as we study the scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, we're talking about seed. We're talking about God describing for us in the language of the scriptures the resurrection. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35, "But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die." That which that, and he said that, let's see here, Matthew 16, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day." And then there was a place here in John chapter 12. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Very verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." One of the things I like the double witness of the scriptures. Here's Paul talking about this, and Paul, you have to understand, Paul never sat under Jesus as far as his teachings goes when Jesus was alive before his crucifixion. Paul never sat and listened to what Jesus said. And yet here is Paul, because we know the scripture says that Paul learned what he learned by revelation. He got it directly. Christ taught him the doctrines that Paul taught. And so here's Paul talking about resurrection, and he's applying it to a seed. "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." And here's Jesus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Paul, it sounds like Paul is quoting Jesus almost verbatim. How did that happen? By revelation of the Holy Ghost. God, Jesus told Paul this doctrine. And so Paul is being a second witness to it. He said, so in verse 37, 1 Corinthians 15, "That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." Now, I started in last week, we were going to walk in this, and I asked people to study it. We're going to be in three places, Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. And each one of these passages parallels one another. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what's referred to as the Synoptic Gospels. They are sort of, the word optic means they look, the synoptic means they look alike. Okay, that's what that means. So these Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are similar in what they say and the stories they tell. But there are differences between them. But then you have John, who's different. Every time, and study this in the Bible, every time you see the fourth of something, it's going to be different than the other three. So you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, but you've got the fourth one in there, and he's different than the other three. He is a son of the gods? No! He is the Son of God. He's different. And so anyway, there's just a pattern that you'll see through the Bible. But let's go to Matthew chapter 13. And I'm just going to go down the scriptures of this parable and look at what the Bible says. We're learning about seeds and how they apply spiritually, what the Bible means, and so on. And remember, Mark chapter 4 tells us that this concerning this parable, concerning all the parables, that they are Christ's doctrine. They are the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Is that any different than the doctrine of Paul? No. Is it any different than the doctrine of Isaiah? No. There is one faith, one baptism. That's what the Bible says. And so what we'll do is we'll just kind of bring many scriptures together so that we get an understanding of what this is talking about. But Jesus taught the same thing that Paul did, that Peter did, that James did, that John did, that Moses and the prophets did. They all testified of the same idea and the same doctrine. And that's what we're going to look at. So in Matthew chapter 13, we'll pick it up in verse 3. The Bible says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Verse 4, "When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." Crackling? Okay. All right. Okay. Keep listening. Is it crackling on your end? Okay. All right, do this. Ladies and gentlemen, the coolie. Yay! All right, we'll try that. And if it keeps going, Brian, we'll just bring another microphone over here. Okay? We'll use the pulpit one or something like that, all right? Just let me know. All right. Good morning, guys. Matthew 13. Hurry, you're already 10 minutes late for school. Gary will whack your hand with a yardstick. If Gary knew what a yardstick was, he would do that. Matthew 13:3. I like picking on you, Gary. Verse 4. Pay attention to the visuals here. God's going to draw a picture. That's what these parables are for. It's a picture of what his doctrine looks like. So verse 4, "When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came, devoured them up." Think of things with wings flying down to eat the word of God. Okay? Think of things with wings that's flying down to eat the word of God. No go? Okay. Yeah, I'll do it. Go ahead and get that and rig me up, all right? Let's keep going here. And then verse 5. "Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth." Now draw a picture in your mind of what this looks like. You've got stony ground in most of Missouri. The fields, especially in the hilly areas, they are full of ledge rock, full of it. You drive by pastures and fields and everything like that, and you're going to see out in the middle of these pastures, you're going to see rocks everywhere, and because that's what they are. It's just broken up rocks everywhere. But think of very hard ground. Think of that. And then he said in verse 6, "And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." Study roots in the Bible. Think about roots and so on. Verse 7, "And some fell among thorns." So this particular seed, it has roots. It has roots, but it starts growing, and something else grows up along with it. So think about that. And the two plants that are there are competing. They're contradictory to one another. Because no one gathers up a bushel basket full of thorns and puts it in the frying pan and eats it. No one does. They are competing against one another for the moisture in the soil, for the nutrients in the ground, and for the sunlight. They're competing against each other. And you might want to write next to this, and we're going to go there eventually. Hebrews 6. There's a beautiful connection here to all this. "Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit." Study fruit. Study, and we'll look into some of these things as we move along. "As some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold." Why is it different? I don't know that I have an answer to that. It just is. And I know that Paul said that
Paul said, I sow the seed, Apollos watereth, but God is the one who brings the increase. God is the one who does that. So he says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So now in verse 10, we're going to get into the heart, the meat of what this means. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. Why? Why was it not given to Israel? Let's go back to Isaiah 28. And there's many other places in the Old Testament that we can find out and find an answer to this. But this is part of it. Why did he speak unto them in parables? Why was he teaching this way? Because he gave the parable. He drew the picture for them. And it's a picture they were familiar with. But what does the picture mean? It's like looking at a Picasso. You ever looked at a Picasso? Yeah. Hand sticking out of the side of a head. And, you know, they say, well, that's a new drawing. And you're going, I don't know. It looks like a bunch of squares and circles to me. I don't know. What does that mean? And then, but everybody that walks up to it will have a different interpretation of what it means. They'll have a different idea of what it means. So these parables that Jesus taught, is he leaving it up to us to determine what it means? No. Because all we like sheep are gone astray. We would go in all different directions with it. Well, I think this means this. I think the stone means that. I think this. So what Jesus did as a favor is he's going to show you and tell you exactly what each of these symbols mean. So it's not a question. That's what it is. That's what he said it was. Isaiah 28 in verse 9, he said, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? See that word there? Doctrine. His doctrine is what he was teaching here in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. He's teaching them his doctrine. And he is looking for people that he can make to understand his doctrine. So how did he do it? He drew pictures of what his doctrine looks like. And so it says, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Because the Bible, 1 Peter, is described both as milk, desires the sincere milk of the word. But then we mature into meat eaters. We desire the meat of the word of God. I've got grandbabies and two of them are in that transfer from milk to junk food. Jaden's already there. Okay, he's still drinking milk, but he loves his junk food. All right, they love fried potatoes for some reason, French fries or whatever it is. But the two younger ones, Uriah and Liam, I'm going to forget them. They're still in the milk part, and they're trying to slowly but surely get them to have a little meat, a little meal, a little grain, a little veggies with their food. So it takes a while. And this is something to remember with people, new converts when they come to us, people that just get saved. Not everybody. The simplest understanding, God made it so simple, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Okay? That's how simple it is. But as we grow, we start doing what children do. We start asking questions. Why? Why is it like this? Why is it like that? And so God's got 1,189 chapters of why it is the way it is. And that's how we get understanding. But then he says, verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Why did he say it that way? It's twice. Everything is doubled. Old Testament, New Testament. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. So the stammering lips, verse 11, was Moses. That was his stammering lips. And then he said, and another tongue, that is Acts chapter 2, that is 1 Corinthians 14, because Paul quoted this verse, but he changed it by way of the Holy Ghost. With men of other lips and other tongues will I speak to this people. So in the day that it was to be fulfilled, you have nobody is speaking the Hebrew anymore. They're speaking all of these other languages from the Gentile world. They're speaking the translated Word of God. Amen? And it's perfect because it's being given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And so God said that was how He was going to speak. And then He said, verse 12, to whom He said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. God promised His people a rest, and He promised them a refreshing. They wouldn't listen to Him. So He says in verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Why? That they might go, fall backward, be broken, and snared, and taken. Okay? God, 2 Thessalonians 2, for this cause shall God send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And the people, yeah, they fell backward, didn't they, Gary?
Yeah, back into the law.
Yeah. You see, grace is always forward. I've been studying things that are backward and forward in the last 24 hours. And my mind is just reeling. Forward is where grace is. It's where heavenly Jerusalem is. That's where I'm headed. Backward is Mount Sinai under the law. That's what they did. When they fell, when you see people falling before the Lord, which direction do they fall? Forward. They fell on their faces. When Eli heard that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken, he fell backward. And died. Broke his neck. Okay? When the soldiers who were there to arrest Jesus, when Jesus said, it is I, or it is He, or something like that, they went backward. Very interesting pictures the Bible's drawing for us. So, in the mystery religions, Freemasonry, Hiram Abiff, when he's hit in the head, he falls backwards. Slain in the spirit. These people never fall forward. You never see that. They fall backwards. Study. Study back and backwards. That would be a movie for Jim Carrey. Back and backwards. Okay? Dumb and Dumber. Study back and backwards. Or as we used to say then, Little Rock, backwards. Backwards. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And so Jesus teaches, if we go back to Matthew 13, He says, verse 11, He said, answered and said, because it is given unto you know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. If you will study the word mystery or mysteries in every occasion, in the word mystery or mysteries, in the circle of the context of any one of those words, you'll see that the mystery is revealed all throughout. In fact, the word mystery is only found in the New Testament. And in every case, it's revealed. Paul said, behold, I will show you a mystery. Okay? And she has a name on her forehead written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And then John begins to show the revelation of who this woman is. It's a beautiful study. Just study that. But see, here is what was in the Old Testament a secret. When Manoah and his wife were trying to discern the name of the angel of the Lord that gave them news that she was going to bring forth a child, which was Samson. They inquired of his name. He said, why do you inquire of my name, seeing it is a secret? Okay, it was not to be revealed. What was manna? Mint, angel food cake. Okay. with cherries and icing and all that stuff. Stuff I can't have that will kill me now. Okay? It was, manna means, what is it? They didn't know what it was. And when Jesus comes along, what did he say? That was me. Okay? You didn't recognize me, that was me. That rock that followed them throughout the wilderness that had water coming out of it. Jesus said, that was me too. Okay? The stone that they rejected, Jesus said, that was me. Okay? The lamb that they killed, Jesus said, that was me. The high priest that offered, Jesus said, that was me. In fact, you point to just about anything in the Old Testament, and here's Jesus saying, that was me. 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 You remember the road to Emmaus? You remember Jesus talking to the men? And he starts in the Old Testament, starts showing them all the shadows and the types. And I would have loved to have been a bird sitting on one of those guys' shoulders listening to this conversation. Because they're now hearing how Jesus was in every page of the Old Covenant. He was there all the time. And because they asked for a veil to be put over Moses' face when he came down from Mount Sinai, they said, cover that up. We don't want to look at that. They said that. They asked for the veil to be there. And so God put a veil there. They are getting here what they asked for. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But unto them it is not given. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And that's almost exactly what he's saying here in Isaiah 28. And he says it in other places. So Jesus comes along in Revelation, in the letters to the seven churches, saying, him who hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you have ears to hear, let him hear. But he said, they have ears and they hear not. They have eyes, but they see not. And so verse 14, and then was fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and the ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. How many eyes do you have? How many ears do you have? What's two and two? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Isn't that beautiful? Just look at it. Look at what it's saying. Slow down a little bit. Okay? People like to read the Bible through in a year. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like to read a verse in a month. Okay? But I like to just look at every part of that verse and break it down and see it for what the Bible says. And just go all over the Scriptures with it. All right? Verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And basically the understanding is right in front of them. It's Jesus, the Word of God, the New Covenant. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So he says in verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then come the wicked one. Remember what I told you. Think of something with wings that flies down and it eats the word of God. So he mentions here the wicked one. Back in Mark, he specifically says Satan. Satan cometh and immediately eats the word. There's a picture of that. Revelation chapter 12. Turn there. I love the storybook of the Bible. Revelation chapter 12. There is a woman in verse 2. She being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And this child is the Word of God, Jesus Christ. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for devoured her child as soon as it was born. This dragon, this devil, this serpent, this fiery flying serpent, has a diet. Things that he likes to eat. What does he like to eat? The Word. He likes to eat and devour the Word. So, think about some sinner that, up here to Smokehouse up here, you walk in there with Bible tracts. I'm not saying anything against that. I got a friend of mine out in Las Vegas. He goes into places that you would never set foot in. He goes in and hands out chick tracts. Okay? He does. And bless his heart for doing it. He's in Las Vegas. He's there specifically so he can hand out tracts to the wickedest people in this country. That's what he's there to do. And bless his heart for it. And he understands that most of the time, the people who get those tracts in their hand, what's going to happen? It's going to be as nothing. And so that's what he's teaching you. And here's this group of people right here that the seed fell on their life in the form of a tract, a sermon, a bumper sticker, or anything else. The seed fell upon their life and immediately it was devoured so that it brings forth no fruit whatsoever. Brings forth no fruit. That person, in spite of what Joel Osteen told Oprah Winfrey, that person does not go to heaven. The fruit of... You can look at the fruit this way. The fruit is being born again. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what our born-againness is. John said it in 1 John, that which is born of God sinneth not. Does that mean this flesh? Heavens, no. This flesh was not born of God. The inward man that Paul talked about, that's what's born of God. That's what does not sin.
Amen.
Okay? And that is the fruit of the Spirit. But these people here, they're not going to heaven. Period. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So they are not going. So, that's that group. All right, now the second group. Verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Oh yeah, that sounds good. Oh yeah, I like this idea. Don't do nothing and I go to heaven. I like it. Okay? These are people, and listen to this. These are people who will go to an altar. These are people who will go to a revival meeting and they'll come forward and they'll say, yeah, I want to receive Jesus. That's what I want to do. But is there the fruit of the Spirit manifested in their life? The answer is no. Why? Because in their mind and in their heart, see, we're saved by grace through what? Through faith, John. What is faith? You believe it. Believe what God said. Okay? Did Abraham believe what God said? And it was given, and God said, here, take my coat of righteousness and put it on. Now you're clean. Now you've never sinned. It's as if you have never sinned a day in your life, Abraham. That's cool. Okay, that is awesome. Okay? But Abraham believed God. Okay? And he believed everything that God told him. So did Noah. So did Joshua. So did Moses. These people believed. These people died in faith. Every one of them. Okay? They died in faith. And they believed unto righteousness. Okay? So, but these people, they say, oh yeah, that Jesus thing. Yeah, I believe that. And then you tell them, now, according to the Bible, the earth was created roughly 6,000 years ago, and it was done so in six literal 24-hour days, because that's exactly what the Bible says. In the evening and the morning were the first day, in the evening and the morning were the second day. It's exactly what it says. I don't believe that. What about all these stars? What about all that testing they do? What about all the dinosaurs? I don't believe that. You know what happened? The seed hit a stone. It hit a rock of offense. And it couldn't get any root. And in order for that tree or that grass or whatever it is, in order for that thing to bring forth fruit, it's got to have roots. That is, it's not only common sense, it's Bible. He's teaching you that. It looks good in the springtime when there's plenty of rain. Let's go here for a minute. God said that His doctrine distills, you know what, let me look that up. I'm going. Deuteronomy 32. Ain't nobody here. Who's going to come run me out? Deuteronomy 32. And my wife is not here going. But you know what? I can feel her doing it. Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Look at what he's saying here. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. The earth receives the rain, doesn't it? The earth receives the rain and it brings forth. He said, verse 2, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is our rock. Here's God's doctrine coming down on us. And in the springtime here, it's just coming down gently, and it's watering everything. And all that grass springs up, and it looks like in springtime that everything's going to be okay, doesn't it? And I've been around long enough. I've been in church, I've been pastoring, I've been in church all my life. I have also, and I've been in those seasons where, I mean, there was preaching, and I have had those seasons in my life where I just read the Bible. But I've also been in those seasons, like mid-July, mid-August, where I wasn't doing that. And the words were hard to come by. And the sun was coming out beating down on everything. And if I didn't have any root during those times, I'd be in bad shape. See how that works? This is what he's teaching us. This is all of this whole thing about seed. And there are people. And the illustration I gave a while ago about the creation, that actually happened to a man that I know. That we had in this church, we had tried for years to convert him. He was a public school science teacher, high school science teacher. Did not believe in God. And he wouldn't have it. And finally, a preacher went to him down south. They moved down south. Preacher went to him. And he made a confession of faith. Okay? I'm not the man's judge. But he was in church for, I don't know, a year, 2 years, something like that. Everybody's talking, oh, yeah, you know what happened to so-and-so. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord, you know, this and that and the other. And the pastor of that church, who I know, and I believe he believes the Bible, he started preaching Genesis 1, started preaching on creation. And that man let that preacher have it after the service. He said, I can't believe that as smart as you are, that you're that ignorant and dumb as to believe that. And the pastor said, well, that's what the Bible says and that's what I believe. He said, that ain't true. The man walked out of that church. Now, he went to another church where he would not be offended that way. You see what happened? The word that was taught offended that man. And that's exactly what he says here in Mark 4 and Matthew 13 and Luke 8. He said that man was offended. And he died a few years later. He was an old man. He died. I am not his judge. Don't want to be. I don't want to ever have a situation where the world says one thing to me and God says another, and I decide to believe what the world said other than God. That's dangerous. Because I'm reading here. Let's read what happened. Verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He's offended. And he produced no fruit. Does he go to heaven? Not according to Scripture. A tree that will not bear fruit, what happens to it? Cut down. Cast into the fire. Where there's weeping and gnashing. Let's look that. I like to look up verses. Now I'm just going to quote Scripture. Let's look at gnashing. Let's see here. Matthew 13. Let's see here. Several places here where it talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth in Luke 13:27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not. Whence you are, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Then shall they shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what it says. They said, Lord, Lord, didn't they? They said, Lord, Lord. But they bore no fruit. And the husbandmen cut them down. They're cursed. You're not cursed and still go to heaven. It's what the Scripture says. And so, I chose to believe what the Bible said concerning, and I've preached this several times. The sad state of it is, there are four groups here. Three of them go to hell. Three of these groups went to church, clearly. One group at the end goes to heaven. Okay? All the way through. But two of the groups that hear the word and receive it do not make it. Why? Number one, stony ground. So I always say this. I think we need to hear it a lot. I've had to have people help me. One day I was mad at God and I picked up my Bible and I said, Lisa, you better tell me that this Bible's true. She said, Mike, you know it is. She knew what I was going through. And that helped me because I was mad at God and I was offended. But God, by His grace, allowed me to have a root that was still drawing water. And I survived by the grace of Almighty God. Because when she said that, yeah, we need help. That's why I'm here today. Because I had it figured somebody, maybe you sitting here or somebody out there, needed a little encouragement today. Because the sun came out and they feel withered up and it's not raining right now in their life. And they could be easily offended. But live another day and that root taps in just a little bit lower every day. So you've seen these old trees, haven't you? They don't get pushed down easily, do they? Every year that tree grows more and more and more and more. And the roots go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And you can't starve them trees out. You can't blow them over. They're not going anywhere. That's where I want to be. It's exactly where I want to be. We'll pick the rest of this up. We'll move through this next week. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.